This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Republican leaders in the state Senate want to cut taxes even more. A bill would reduce the personal income tax rate to 5.5% by 2017. It would lower tax rates for corporations once again. The Senate leadership says the measure benefits everybody, but opponents say the gains will only be for the wealthiest in the state. Also, GOP leaders clashed with the governor over another tax measure this week, this one designed to redistribute sales tax revenue. Governor McCrory says the move will harm the state's economy and decimate the tourist industry. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins me now. Welcome back, Ken.
How are you, Frank?
I couldn't be better. Good to talk with you. Let's talk about this Senate bill introduced yesterday. You know, the legislature and the governor have approved tax cuts, deep tax cuts in the state already. A new Senate bill takes the personal income tax rate to 4.5% by 2016. It reduces the corporate tax rate yet again. It eliminates a requirement to hit certain. Now, this is interesting because the first tax cut for corporations said if we don't reach a certain revenue benchmark for the state, then we withhold the tax cut. This one removes that, says we're going to give you a tax cut whether we can make money or not. So that's new. And then a certain revenue threshold for corporate tax reduction would take part in 2013 over and above. So given the budgetary demands of the state, is this a political landmine?
Well, you know, it's fascinating. We once upon a time, we keep thinking that, well, you know, you have a Republican governor and you have both houses of the state legislature in Republican hands, so everything should be hunky-dory. But we've seen throughout this whole campaign or this whole cycle that the legislature has one thing in mind, the governor has another thing in mind. And, of course, the ramifications are different for both sides because many of the legislators were elected from safe Republican districts. They promised conservative policies, and they're delivering on conservative policies. And while McCrory, of course, is a conservative, he also knows that when he runs for re-election next year in 2016, he has a different electorate that he has to deal with. And so not everybody is into just, you know, cutting taxes as much as they can. The battle between the legislature and McCrory has been going on for a while. We saw that Tom Tillis was affected by that during his Senate campaign, and doesn't seem to be any different for McCrory as he heads into his gubernatorial reelection.
Well, the other interesting thing about this is, like, who loses votes by cutting taxes, right? I mean, people should feel the tax cut right away, and it's a long time before you realize what it means to underfund your school system or cut infrastructure in other ways. You don't notice that right away, and so why not cut taxes? And yet, let's listen to what one of the sponsors of this new Senate bill that would reduce taxes said, Senator Jerry Tillman. He said he's added married couples earning $46,000. The quote is, "I'm tired of hearing that we only do this for the rich," meaning they're hearing they only did that last tax cut for the rich because people have filled out their taxes once and realized they didn't get anything unless they had a lot of money. So it's interesting that people are starting to notice that the original tax cut really didn't benefit them in the way they thought it would.
Well, plus the fact that, I mean, we were always talking about deficits and all the cuts that North Carolina has made to education funding. And, of course, that's going to be a big, given the fact that the reputation of North Carolina and it's just, you know, and education is always is just paramount reputation around the country. So McCrory can make the case, you know, the legislators can make the case that, yes, everybody's in favor of tax cuts, but when you talk about deficits, when you talk about the infrastructure that's not being funded, when you talk about education that's not being funded, maybe it'll take a while for everybody to realize it, but it certainly becomes an issue in 2016. And right now, if you look at the polls, I mean, it's still a little early to talk about 2016, but it is all about politics, and we can see that McCrory does not have a cakewalk for another term, and he knows these issues are going to be used against him.
And, of course, just to clarify, education spending has increased, but it has yet to restore the cuts that were made before 2008. So we're still not back to 2008 levels, even though there were slight increases. So it becomes a semantic battle. But, yes, you know, you take your point.
Right. I mean, I don't mean to be anti-semantic, but it's not only that. I mean, the problems with the McCrory and the legislature go beyond just taxes, beyond just the budget. I mean, we've been talking, and you and I have talked about this in the past, the battle over who has the right, the power to appoint members to commissions. The legislature says it's theirs. McCrory says no, it's not, and the courts have sided with McCrory. But it's just so interesting, as we said so with Tom Tillis, that McCrory tries to run a kind of a centrist right bid for a second term while the legislature is just moving more and more confrontational with the governor, and that's not what the governor wants to see.
Well, the other confrontation earlier this week over a bill that would redistribute the revenue from sales taxes. The Senate wants to do this, says a lot of people coming from the countryside spend their money in the cities. The sales tax stays there. They want to redistribute this. The governor strongly disagrees. He says it's going to hurt the economy. It will decimate the tourist industry. He came out very strongly against this Senate proposal to redistribute the sales tax revenue.
And that is either certainly that's part ideological, but it's also part of this urban-rural split that you see in many states, but especially in North Carolina, when you have basically a governor who comes from more of an urban part of the state and many of the Republican legislators who are elected from small towns and rural areas.
How do we see this play out? Is this happening in other states? We know a lot of states have gone, you know, Republican in this way. Are we seeing these kind of splits in other states in the country?
We are, and as a matter of fact, not only is it affecting other governors around the country, but it's also affecting some Republican governors who are hoping to run for president. John Kasich, who's the governor of Ohio, has tried to be more of a compassionate conservative type. He's trying to increase the number of people, the low-income people who can get Medicaid coverage, and the legislature has been fighting him strongly on that. They don't want to add people to Medicaid rolls, and so Kasich has been forced to go beyond the legislature on issues like Medicaid funding and taxes. There's a new bill passed by the proposed in the Ohio legislature that's talking about a heartbeat bill that would ban abortion once there's a fetal heartbeat. That's not what Kasich wants when he's running for president. It'll make him sound too extreme. Similarly, in Wisconsin, Scott Walker running for president, the legislature just passed a right-to-work bill. The last thing Scott Walker wants to do is have another battle with the unions in his bid for president. And so it's more of a distraction for him. So again, these are two states. We have Republican governors and Republican legislatures. And yet that even though they're the same party, it's hurting the two governors running for president. And it's not only with Republicans. I mean, Jerry Brown, who has a solidly Democratic district legislature in California, these legislators want to spend more. They want to tax more. And of course, Jerry Brown is aware of budget problems California has had in the past. So he's trying to tamp down the more liberal instincts of the Democrats. So both sides, both parties are getting hit by this.
I'm talking to political junkie Ken Rudin today on The State of Things. How does this play out in the state of North Carolina? On the one hand, you might think it's to the governor's advantage to draw this distinction between the hard right conservatives within the party to identify him as a centrist when he has to run. On the other hand, you know, for those Tea Party conservatives, they get pretty hostile about not running with their party. How does it work for him in the state like North Carolina?
It's not working well. The fact that most of the headlines are talking about the dissension within Republican ranks rather than, sure, you know, we know that governors and legislators disagree, but I kind of think that you know, while the issue really will be the centrist, the independent voters in 2016, if the Tea Party feels that McCrory is not with them or not aligned with him, theoretically, they could sit home. I mean, I don't think they want Roy Cooper to be the next governor of North Carolina. But we've seen in Congress as well that even though John Boehner is a Republican speaker and he's standing up to Obama as much as he can, a lot of Tea Party people feel that Boehner and in the Senate McConnell are the real enemy. So you don't know what's going to happen. But I mean, any kind of tamped down enthusiasm for McCrory in 2016 is not going to help the governor certainly win a second term.
Well, you're talking about politics at the national level. Let's stay there for a minute. North Carolina native Loretta Lynch still awaiting confirmation as attorney general held up by the Republicans. She's waited longer than any cabinet nominee in the Obama administration and actually two prior administrations, George W. Bush and Bill Clinton. What's going on?
Well, you could make the case that the Republicans are holding it up, and certainly Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, says, I am holding it up until we're not going to have a vote on Loretta Lynch until we pass a human trafficking bill. Now, this is a bill that both sides, Democrats and Republicans, support, but there's a measure in the bill that forbids abortion spending, money funds for abortion for victims of human trafficking. The Democrats will never agree to that, and so they're filibustering that bill. And so the Democrats are saying, well, you know, the way the Republicans are treating Loretta Lynch, they're putting her to the back of the bus. They're trying to equate her with Rosa Parks and things like that. Well, how could you not support Loretta Lynch when it's the 50th anniversary of Selma, all those things. Of course, at the same time, Dick Durbin, who's making those charges, voted against Condoleezza Rice to be the first black Secretary of State under the Bush administration. So both sides can play, throw the race card out of this. But basically, I don't think it's about race. I think the Republicans are very frustrated. Everything they tried to do to stand up to President Obama has been backfiring on them. When Obama came up with his issues on immigration, executive powers on immigration, they responded, Republicans responded by holding up funding for the Department of Homeland Security that backfired, that blew up in their face. So McConnell, especially in the Senate, they're trying to come up with some way of hitting back at the president. Holding up Loretta Lynch is one way of doing it, but the Democrats are not doing Lynch any favor by holding up the human trafficking bill.
All right, 30 seconds left. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid said he is retiring. Some say he's the source of the gridlock. Anyway, what does his departure mean, Ken?
Well, you know something? I mean, he is very effective. He was effective as majority leader, and he's held up a lot of Republican initiatives as minority leader, but he's still not everybody's favorite Democrat. He's retiring, and the Republicans are happy to see him go. I suspect, though, a lot of Democrats are happy to see him go, too. They're looking for stronger, more dynamic leadership in the Senate.
All right. Well, next time we get together, we'll talk about the presidential race, which is officially underway. Time for that later. Out of time now. Ken Rudin, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.
Just ahead, we're going to talk with North Carolina resident who survived the Holocaust. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.